Putting it up. Put it. It defies gravity.
To all the killers and the $100 billers.
You play it while you're pouring a beer?
Check it out, man. We be the infamous, you heard of us.
Is that what it's called now?
You never seen a 37-year-old white guy growing up listening to Korn and Limp Bizkit vibing like this.
No, because usually when I do see that, I turn away. I tell everyone in the car, don't look at that. Don't look at that. And then I drive away quickly.
Hello, and thank you very much for downloading this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. You can download many more episodes at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com.
Was this movie originally called Thanksgiving in the fake trailers with Eli Roth during Death Proof and Planet Terror?
Because that I can see, it says no.
Okay, because Thanksgiving, you're missing an opportunity here for this kind of movie. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Eric, how the hell are you doing?
I am doing great. Thanksgiving is another type of horror film, though. And that's probably why I'm getting so mixed up. That's the one with the mutant turkey.
Oh, yeah. There's like three of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Okay. So Thanksgiving was the original title for Eli Roth's fake trailer.
Yeah. I feel like there was that weird part in like kind of the late aughts where they were getting into like comedy horror, where it was like, what was it like? Is it trauma films?
Trauma films. Films. Which they're coming out this year with the Toxic Avenger remake.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, I think around the time they did Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
It's Poltergeist.
Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah. Terrible.
It was 2006 film. And then it was like Zombievers. Kind of like these weird mutant animals that were, there's a new theme, the new thing in horror movies. And it's more comedy horror than anything.
Were they trying to bank off of the mild success of the early 90s with Carnosaur? You're welcome.
That's a good one.
You're welcome. So we're here talking about Thanksgiving because, again, we're not going to go to the theaters all the time. It's finally available on streaming. What did I watch this on?
Netflix.
So, of course, I was geeked, right? Because you and I have both been on this show many times saying that we are Tarantino fanboys. Like, we do like Tarantino films, right? So this is a part of that oeuvre. For some reason, Tarantino loves Eli Roth, but this was one of those fake trailers. Along with the fake trailer for those movies was Werewolf Women of the SS, and then Don't. Remember that one?
Uh-huh.
If you think about opening the door, Don't, right? I'm arguing that Werewolf Women of the SS would have been a better movie. That's a Rob Zombie fake trailer. I'm
trying to remember, was there one like a T-Rex too, or
Tammy and the T-Rex?
Yeah, but
that was Paul Walker's debut, bud. So I mean, like, okay, so am I wrong? I don't want to speak for, I'm like, I am a fanboy of Tarantino. Are you a fanboy of Tarantino?
He comes and goes. I did not like what the hell was that movie that we reviewed? True Romance.
He just wrote that, though. He didn't direct that.
He's dialogue heavy, and I don't mind that. But sometimes it could be a little bit too much.
Okay.
But for the most part, I'm fine with Quentin Tarantino. I didn't like Once Upon a Time in Vegas?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, that's whatever.
You didn't like that movie? Okay, I get that.
It was mediocre. I'm not gonna jump and watch it again. I liked that because I liked a few scenes in that movie. I didn't like the overall movie. How about that?
There we go. I agree with you. So we're talking about Tarantino because in 2006, ripe, perfect age for me, sophomore year of film school, this little movie comes out, Planet Terror and Death Proof, and we learned all about grindhouse cinema in film class that semester. And I was all about grindhouse cinema. I was just enthralled by it. I don't know why. Like, it's just what these things existed in, like, New York. Like, people would go and see the, like, this is where I learned the term cigarette burns. And for people that don't know, if you watch an old film and you see, like, this burn hole, like, in the film in a corner somewhere, like, that's the film is burning. You know, or the scratchiness or scenes missing. I even went as far as college as to made a grindhouse movie called The Nobodies, a road movie, 70s road movie with the filter and the grain. Like, I was all about grindhouse movies. So I went to go see this thing, hook, line, and sinker. I was all about it. Hated Planet Terror, loved Death Proof.
Oh, I was opposite. I liked Planet Terror, and I was not really a fan of Death Proof. I was just like, let's get to it, Death Proof. Jeez Louise. It takes me like an hour just to get to the good stuff, man. Planet Terror did have its kind of weird moments. But listen, man, I'm also a guy that likes Guy Ritchie gun porn. And Planet Terror gave me that. You know, I wanted to see Rose McGowan with a gun leg. And right. Doing some crazy, stupid stuff with a grenade launcher attached to her. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why I'm nerding out a little bit about this grindhouse stuff was there was a trailer in the middle of these two features. And it was Thanksgiving and blah, blah, blah. And it was funny, ridiculous. It was about a pilgrim killer killing people on Thanksgiving. And this came out in 2006. So I have two questions before we get into, well, before we carve this turkey. Number one, thank you. Number one would be, why is Eli Roth waiting so long to do this? And question two is, should this have been more grindhousey? What's your answers?
Yes, no, he certainly has a certain style to his directing methods in that he just likes to make you wince. And the more corn syrup, the better. This is the Eli Roth style. And he definitely likes just like top flesh sort of stuff. Remember in mm-hmm. Cabin Fever where it mm-hmm. was just like a slowly decaying skin peeling back mm-hmm. kind of a stuff. And then we get to see a little bit more of that in Hostel, where it was a mix of that cannibalism. I think he definitely just likes, and then Green Inferno, obviously, which was, that was more of like a Cannibal Holocaust remake, right?
That was a ripoff. Yeah. Straight remake or ripoff, one of the two.
So he definitely has this style about him where I think he's just kind of making it for himself, kind of like Tom Six. If you get, you know, the guy who did, Human Centipede, where he's just able to get money for some reason, whether he's pitching a different idea, which I think Tom Six did for Human Centipede 2 and 3, and uh-huh. ended up making this completely different movie. And that, for some reason, does okay. Right. He's not my first, nor my second, I would say, or my third. I don't, you really, he doesn't have a whole lot of range.
No, he doesn't. So, I mean, like when Cabin Fever came out, what, in 2002? Like it was early 2000s. I loved that movie. I think you liked that movie too, right? It was kind of everything that we grew up with piled into one. And yeah. Ever since then, he's made crap. We've talked about it off air. And now, you know, we're here to talk about Thanksgiving. Close to 20 years later. Close to, right? This will be 18 years since that trailer came out.
Yeah.
Right? Not a lot to say about the plot, right? So let's get into it. We can talk nerd stuff all we want. But the plot of it is we're in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Nice. Right. And we start off with Costco, but they call it Price Mart or whatever.
Right Mart or something like that. Yeah. Right Mart.
Can I just call it the Try and Save from Simpson? That would be nice.
Not S Mart.
And okay. So we get a bunch of these people, hundreds of people in this town going crazy off. To try to get into this Costco place, if you will, to go like Black Friday shopping,
I'd say,
or Walmart to get waffle irons. That was the joke of it. For some reason, it kept on reminding me of that South Park episode where they make fun of Black Friday. Right?
That's really what this was making fun of Black Friday. And I listen, this opening sequence was pretty fun. I actually enjoyed this opening sequence.
It was very fun.
It knew, it told me right away what I was getting into. The movie knew what it was, and I thank you for that. I knew exactly what ticket I had bought for what ride I was going on when this happened, because it is just dumb bloody violence.
It is. It is. I enjoyed this opening so much because, well, okay, so we get introduction. We get Patrick Dempsey as the cock. Patrick Dempsey as the cop.
I know what I'm you're thinking so, of, huh?
It's... Oh, my God. I'm not going to edit that out.
Of course. You know, you're thinking about Patrick Dempsey there, huh?
Oh, McDreamy. Anyway. But McDreamy is
a cop. Arrest you anytime,
or...
huh?
Mm-hmm. I do not resist. But Patrick Dempsey is the sheriff in this town, and he goes to this house for Thanksgiving. And you have this group of family, right? You have this rich guy who owns I'm sorry, what's the name of the store? I'll keep on forgetting.
Wright Mart.
I'll keep on saying Wright Mart. So he owns Wright Mart. Patrick Dempsey kind of has the eyes for this one mom. And then this is where we meet kind of like our victims, like our people, if you will, right? And one dude is like manager of Wright Mart, right? And he has to go to open the store for Thanksgiving. I believe there's no other sales besides people are literally just lining up in droves to get waffle irons, right? That's the whole thing.
There was, if you would go through it, there's deals, there's like percentages and stuff like that, but I think the pitch was that you get a free waffle iron with a certain amount or something like that. It doesn't matter.
Gotcha. Well, so again, another question about, is it too late? I mean, you don't hear much about Black Friday massacres like you used to 10 years ago. Like, this movie probably would have been a very good zeitgeist 10 years ago.
Well,
right?
That's kind of goes along with the poison and the candy for trick-or-treaters, right? It happens once or twice, and then the urban legend kind of takes it over. And I believe for Black Friday, the few deaths that had happened were because of trampling.
Yeah, it was like Walmart going in to get TVs for a couple $100 and people get trampled. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't anything brutal, although I guess getting trampled, again, stampeded on is pretty brutal itself. But nothing crazy bloody.
No, not like this movie. So we get the kids, they hate each other, right? We get everybody, right? Everybody is here. Our victims are here. And the doors get broken and everybody's just running in to get these waffle irons. And the one security guard gets completely trampled. One random guy gets a knife, gets his throat slit by glass.
Yeah.
And his last dying thing is to hold on with the waffle iron.
That was great. Yeah.
One of the long hair kids that's a star baseball player, somebody stepped on his hand and I felt that crunch, right? Like broke his wrist.
You knew this, you knew that was going to happen as soon as the movie was started, when they're just like, oh, there's the guy with the golden arm. And I was that guy's going to lose his arm.
Were you like me in a Hot Tub Time Machine where you're just waiting the whole time?
Yeah.
For Marty McFly Sr. to get his arm ripped off.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is it. The one, of course, I felt the most was the mom, right? Who is kind of like scared, crawling on all fours. All of a sudden, she gets smacked in the head with a grocery cart.
Yeah, Gina Gershon.
That was... Okay. So she gets smacked in the head with the grocery cart. She's not dead yet, but I'm assuming she's dying, right? Because her hair gets caught in the wheels and it pulls her scalp back a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming trauma to the head. Just craziness. And the like main dude, not main dude, but like one of the dudes was on the counter, like TikTok and everything. And
Evan was his name. Yes.
random dudes were coming after his girlfriend that was hiding underneath him.
It was just chaos. I don't know.
What were they trying to do?
Like, I don't know what was going on. Yeah.
Right.
They were just going crazy.
Patrick Dempsey comes in, has had enough, has seen his, well, this dead mom that he likes on the ground. He points his gun up and shoots, and boom, it's over with. Now, you and I had a conversation off air. So it's Thanksgiving. People that are listening to this episode don't care, probably. Do you care if you and I spoil who the killer is right at this point so we can talk about this in detail?
No.
Because
I tell you, what, just like you had said, and Sarah said the same thing, although I somewhat suspect that she read up on it before, or maybe a little bit after, that she had made the prediction. But you had said it perfectly, and I'll let you describe it. But I had guessed the killer pretty early on in this movie. It's this entire movie is pretty cut and paste here. It's mm-hmm. it's there's no really surprises, and just like you had said, this is a great kind of old school grindhouse date movie where it's just blood, kill, murder, death, blood, guts, and veins in your teeth, as Sarah would say.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so with that permission, I'm assuming I kind of want to reveal the killer by doing a slow burn.
Well, give your process, because you had said it on the phone with me that it was even more obvious.
Right. I mean, I grew up, I don't know about you. I think so. You and I are in the same ballpark. But for people that are listening, like, I grew up with slasher films, right? Puppet Master, Jason Michael Freddy, right? Sleepaway Camp, Prom Night, right? Black Christmas, like all these classic slasher films, right?
Yeah.
Just to name a few. So after you see so many, you get these tropes. And there was that point in time when we were in our 20s, like in the early 2000s, Eric, where like they would make these slasher movies, like maybe like a Scream, and they would make fun of those kind of movies, right?
Yeah, that's where it is. Right? We get to see the parodies of them.
Right.
We get to see it evolve, yeah.
Right. So I didn't know Patrick Dempsey was in this. I am doing a favor for myself. It irritates the heck out of you that I read ahead. So I've been trying the past few weeks to not read ahead, just to get spoiled. So I had no idea Patrick Dempsey was in this movie. And as soon as I clicked play on Netflix and we get that Michael Myers point of view of somebody breathing heavily and walking up to the house,
uh-huh.
and the door opens and it's Patrick Dempsey, the first thing that I said out loud to my wife, while he was talking, and that's why I was talking, I didn't pay attention to who's who, I said, either Patrick Dempsey's going to get brutally murdered, like, as the first victim, or he's the killer. And my wife says, why do you come up with that? Because you don't hire Patrick Dempsey to just be a bit cop. That's not what you do. He's either going to Drew Barrymore this and get murdered in the beginning, or he's the guy. And we'll reveal that, right?
Same thing happened in, was it Scream 6? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the cop, his son was one of the murderers in the fifth one.
Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah. So, I mean, do I say it on air right now? I mean, who the
yes,
killer
of,
is?
Yes, of course.
Patrick Dempsey's the sole killer in this movie, which you and I are going to call BS throughout the rest of this episode.
Yeah, a lot of parts didn't add up to it, but again, I this is my fault. I told you when we were talking, it's my fault for thinking during this movie, which
yeah,
you
think.
Are clearly not supposed to do. So, mm-hmm. So there's a big warning to anyone. I mean, listen, yeah, if you're gonna rewatch this one, stop thinking. This movie is a Mystery Science Theater 3000 special. You are meant to talk and rip it apart the entire time as you're going through it. I was telling Jordan that my one regret for this movie is not going to see this in theaters, because I'm sure the theater going experience would have been a lot of fun, would have been fantastic, from the audience just, again, hooping and hollering and just kind of laughing along with this movie, because the story is dumb. A lot of these kills are even dumber, and
the kills are pretty cool.
You're meant to just have a good time. You know, yeah. There's many times when I, you know, you're watching and I'm seeing one of the girls, I think, gets stabbed in the ears, and she starts Yulia, I butchered that name, and I apologize, everybody.
With a stereotype Russian father. Yeah.
But, you know, where she falls on the ground, she starts crawling, but like, oh, there she goes, crawling to get away. The killer's just doing the slow step behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, all right, the only thing that was missing was the white tank top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Patrick Dempsey being the killer makes me mad because, A, I predict it, which makes it sad that I and you know this kind of genre. But then, B, the killer, the movie doesn't hide the killer's physique at all. He's very skinny. He's like a you, Eric. He's a very skinny guy. Patrick Dempsey is pushing 60. There's some beer gut with that.
Like, it was taller, too.
Yeah, that's why I was like, there has to be two killers, right? You know.
Well, but that's what threw me because I thought the character Ryan was involved.
Is that the zombies guy?
I think so.
That's what Gina thought. That was the other guy too.
I'll double check. But go ahead.
But like it. Okay, so Patrick Dempsey's motivation. Sorry, Billy Loomis, but sometimes you have to have a motivation. Is he was upset that the mom that died in the beginning with the grocery carts, he was in love with her. She was going to get divorced and they were going to have a life together. And then all these people that he accuses of the craziness that happened on Black Friday a year prior. So he's going to dress up as John Carver, which I'm assuming is a made up character for this movie, this pilgrim mask. And he's going to dress up like a pilgrim. And he's going to brutally kill people that deserve it. That's his motivation.
It is the zombies guy. And John Carver is a real person. He was one of the pilgrims on the Mayflower.
Oh. So there you go. We get our first
governor of the Plymouth Colony.
We get our first victim. She was the loudmouth, oversized woman in the... And the riot, the Black Friday riot. She works at a diner, and there's creative kills, right? The whole point of this review is they're creative kills. So he pushes her around and stuff in the kitchen, and then he like puts her head, like her whole body and everything, into the sink, into the cold water. He opens the freezer, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna freeze her to death. That's cool. No, he shoves her wet face against the freezer door. So her face and her fingers stick to the door. Then she has to slowly pull it out. Like, that was fun, right? Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then it just gets more gruesome from there.
Right, like, she runs away, and then, like, there's some funny jokes to her, like, because her hands are so screwed up because of the frostbite that she can't unlock her phone. She can't do a face unlock, you know. She runs out to the car, and the killer's in the car, and she jumps into a trash bin, and then out of nowhere she just gets cut in half by the trash bin. I look at my wife and I'm like, yeah, she ain't dead yet. That's gonna take her 30 minutes to die from that. And my wife's like, what? And I was like, I'm sorry, my father's an EMT.
There's a thing too, right? This movie has, and again, my fault for thinking, where the killer is able to teleport and do instant wardrobe changes and then able to hide any weapons that they have. And it's amazing to me that if the killer, Patrick Dempsey, is able to control the scene, go from here to here to here, but then conceal all of his weapons, I guess he could just do it in the cop car. But the entire movie, or at least for the halfway part of it, there's only like two or three cops in this entire damn town until we get to a point where there's like, all right, you know what? Now two kids are missing. We've already had like four or five deaths, but now two kids are missing. Let's get the SWAT involved. Let's get the actual people involved here. So you had this the entire time. The parade's still going on, and you had a killer clown, which, by the way, I think isn't that a...
Killer clown of outer space.
That could have been, but I think didn't Eli Roth do clowns or something like that?
He may have. This is why I'm upset with you. I'm actually upset with you.
Oh.
And the reason why is because you knew it. You knew that this movie was not asking you to put on your Ryan hat. And that's what you're doing. This movie's not asking for that. This movie is asking you to crack open a beer, a Natty Light crappy Bud Ice beer. You know what I mean? And just be like, goddamn girl, don't be screaming, run.
No. Here's the thing is that I was sold into it by Act 3, where I was like, okay, listen, I'm here. You know who's going to die. You know who's going to die. You've seen these movies enough to where when they introduce the scene, like, okay, that person's dead. That person's dead, and how is it's going to happen, and really all the step-by-steps. At this point, Jordan, I'm not even kidding you. I'm rooting for the killer.
Yeah, right, because there's some great kills. We get that. We get the freezer kill. Who was the second kill?
Tim Dillon, right? It was the security guard with the cat in the apartment.
That's right. That wasn't that good of a kill, right? Because he had his cat, and okay, that
he got decapitated with a piano wire, a la Hereditary style.
Right, and then. I'm sorry, because the stuff that I remember is the dinners. No, yeah, because the stuff that I remember is the dinner scene.
Well, yeah, of course.
But then isn't there like a Cindy Prescott kill attempt at the school for some reason?
Yeah. There was a kidnapping at the school where he kidnaps Addison Rae and the other her boyfriend, and then he kills the other kid who got punched in the eye, I guess. In the beginning, remember how the jocks
that's got his head turned with the
exactly in the cheerleader on the trampoline, yeah, exactly. Then he kills them. So he kills them first, and then he kidnaps. So, yeah, like four people die, and then two people get kidnapped before they bring in the SWAT. Be like, you know what? I think we better call this in, boys. But it makes sense, obviously, because the killer is the cop.
That's what happens in Saw, right? Nothing happens until... Look, okay, so I got to bring that up, right? So you talked about the jerk jock and the cheerleader, right? The cheerleader wants to jump on a trampoline and show him the business as she undresses. Mind you, am I the only one that was thinking of girls tramping on trampolines with the Man Show back in the late 90s?
Maybe. Because
you remember
Well, I never saw the appeal, to be honest, when there was like the Man Show. It's like, hey, man, girls jumping on trampolines. I was like, this is the dumbest tease I've ever seen. Oh, because they bounce. It's just like, yeah, they do it when they walk too. It was slow mo,
Eric.
Whatever. In the Man Show, they wore tight. Those things wouldn't. TV sensors don't allow those things to bounce. They were just doing, you know, top cleave of an inch. Why am I critiquing this?
Eric, I just have to say that I'm not getting political, but Jimmy Kimmel is not the Jimmy Kimmel that used to be on The Man Show. And just like every time he gets way off the rails and he goes super ridiculous in his political views, it's like, do you know what you did like 30 years ago, bud? YouTube does. I still watch it.
People like... could change, but I'd say Adam Carolla's definitely changed a bit too.
Right. So, of course, I have to bring this up, and I have to ask that.
No, by the way, they were not the original hosts of The Man Show. Go ahead.
No, they weren't. In the original 2006 trailer, we have a girl jumping on a trampoline, and she goes up, and she comes down to do the splits, and the knife comes up, and she lands with her privates on the knife.
Yikes.
That didn't happen in this movie. Did this deserve that? Because how she got it was she was jumping, cuts her Achilles, she falls down, cuts her finger, and stabs in the back of the head. I mean, at this point, you want the knife up there, right? At this point?
It really didn't matter, to be honest. The kill was both kills were so dumb, and it's fine. Yeah, why not?
I was pissed. I was just like, come on, dude. Like, you did that 18 years ago. Like, come on. Like, can she do that now?
Why couldn't she, like, just get it through the head? Oh, that's right. Remember, there were some pretty cool head kill scenes. Remember the parade?
We're going to talk about the parade next, but yeah. Let's go over the place. Fuck it. Screw it. Sorry. Screw it. Who cares?
Whatever. Who cares? This movie is worth a few F-bombs here. They were dropping them left and right, no matter what.
I actually like the parade scene because this is where my wife says, there's two killers. Right? I mean, like, this guy is smart, right? Patrick Dempsey's smart. We get the parade.
You cannot say that. If you're going to accuse me of thinking too much in this movie, you cannot call a killer like that smart.
He's smart for this movie, Eric.
No, he's not. He's the only person dressed up as a killer clown during a Thanksgiving parade.
There's other clowns there, right? Maybe? I don't know.
I have to rewind that, but that is not in season, sir. What?
Fine, it's not. Are clowns ever in season?
Halloween?
Okay. Valid. But everybody's looking for a John Carver guy, so he couldn't dress up as a John Carver.
Which, by the way, too, if that is such a big deal, just ban the mask.
They do that in Scream. They didn't do that in Scream because it said that, like, hey, detective, all these ghost face masks are in every store. We you know, same with the John Carver thing.
The way that new deputy sheriff is just like, everyone's gonna have the mask. It's just like, oh my god,
Special
serious?
Officer Doofy.
It's like, oh my god.
I am just saying, like, I mean, like, he's smart for this movie. He's not smart in our world. He's just smart for this movie. Hey guys, they're all looking for John Carver.
Listen,
let's dress up as a clown.
He's smart in this movie because everyone in Plymouth, Massachusetts is so dumb, effing dumb. I just don't get how there are so many times when, like, as a community, they could have got this killer, especially when he's out in the open. It's like, get him. Right. There was one where Scuba had him on the ropes, and he just chose to run instead. It's like, get him.
His name, Scuba. Yeah.
Hit him. Punch him. I was, again, at this point, I was really rooting for the killer. I'm just like, please kill them all.
Yeah, one part that kind of made me giggle, because me being in a very, very small 3,000 person town, there's this scene that made me laugh a lot where I think this is where you had the Cindy Prescott scene where the killer is going to kill her but not going to kill her scene, you know?
Yeah.
And then the cops and everybody goes outside and you have these two rednecks, and this one redneck out of nowhere just shoots a musket.
Those guys are funny, man.
Right. And he's like, well, don't worry about it, Sheriff. It's just gunpowder. Like, that's happened in this town. Like, I mean, cops know you because there's only 3,000 people in my town. So they know. They're like, well, don't – geez, Sheriff, it's just light beer. It's not like it's a Budweiser. Shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those guys were funny. I've been to that frat party too, right? Because that guy that shot the musket, like, there's a few scenes later where the characters go to his house and he has like this young kid with him, and he's like this red carpet. He's like, oh, they're VIPs.
Yeah,
they're VIPs. Let's go up. And of course, never mind.
He's a gun. He's an arms dealer. He's got all the guns.
Somebody that I was stereotyping picked the gold gun first.
Of course.
I mean, I was like, oh, of course, right? But throughout Plymouth, Massachusetts, there's this village, right? This, like, old-timey village where you can see women churn butter that have waited too many tables in their lives. And it's like, you want me to see the churning butter? You know, like those women, you know?
Yeah.
And the killer is underground. Like, nobody thought about that, right? And I actually will argue, I mean, like, because the parade scene's kind of cool, but I think the great scene in this movie, for this movie, not in great scenes in general, is where the one mom is being turkey basted, right? She's, like, laying there on the table, she's surrounded by vegetables and stuff, and he's like putting butter on her and stuff. And I was like, what is he doing? And then he starts putting salt, and Gina says, oh my God, he's going to cook her. And I was like, that's cool. Right. And then she does this great cat and mouse thing. Like, Eli Roth did do a good thing, right? Because I'm stupid for thinking she was going to get away. But there was, I mean, she was doing good, man. Like, went up the stairs. Every time the killer was around, she wasn't there. Like, she almost got away.
Yeah.
Until she got a pitchfork in the back.
Yeah. Okay. Who was in the fridge?
That's what I want to know. I said, who's in the fridge? And Gina's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know who was in the fridge.
Right. Because she goes upstairs to Buffalo Bill's main level. And you like that?
Yeah.
And that's a good one. She opens the fridge and there's like this dead high school kid. And then she sees a bottle of wine, which I'm assuming she was going to use the bottle of wine as a weapon, I'm assuming. And then when she reaches the bottle of wine, this dead kid comes to life and he's like, "Bah!" Right?
Yeah.
And that's it. We don't ever see that kid again. Or is that the dead cheerleader?
Cheerleader was blonde, and the girl in the fridge was definitely not. I'm gonna try to look up real quick and hopefully
because I didn't know who that was. I was so confused about who that was.
I was very confused, and hopefully random, I get an answer before we get this ended here. Yeah,
yeah, random teenager, right? But I mean, shame on me, right? Or do you agree? Like, I mean, did you think she actually was going to get out of there? I mean, she looked like she was going to get out.
Yes and no. Like, she had a pretty good lead, but you know Eli Roth. I know Eli Roth. It kind of reminds me of Hostel, actually, where, yeah, this was just to kind of stretch the movie, I think.
Right, because she's going to get it, and she's going to get killed. Before I talk about the kill, another stupid thing is the killer has this John Carver mask, right? During this whole her running around scene. And he puts the mask on top of the oven and he walks around, does this thing, and he comes back and he notices the mask is kind of burnt, metallic-y and kind of Joker-ish, kind of, you know. And he puts it on like it's cool. I mean, I just wanted to bring it up because obviously the director wanted us to see that. And I found that to be a stupid. But
yeah, it was a little weird detail there.
It was a weird detail that I noticed. So he puts her in the oven. Now, I'm not one that cooks people on a daily basis, but she's in the oven. He's
annually,
cranking it
maybe
up.
Yeah,
annually, and only during a midsummer. And I mean, like, okay, so like, I don't know if you know. I'm just asking, just for knowledge. How does one die being cooked like that? Is it because it's so hot that the oxygen gets sucked out?
I would think that you're probably going to suffocate first before you actually get cooked alive there, but maybe a little bit of both. I also thought, could she just roll out of the door? It's not like there's anything locking that there, but maybe there was. Maybe we'll just say that there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, does your oven door when you cook your turkey have a lock on it?
No.
Oh, good point.
No, it's you just pull, and it opens. So I'd imagine if you're on the inside, you could just push.
I don't know. Yeah, because she got cooked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She got cooked. So then we get, you know, little scenes here and there, but then this is where we get the dinner scene, right? This was the money shot of the movie for Eli Roth, right? They're in a basement somewhere, and he has a tarp in the middle of the table, and everybody's around. His victims are around that are dead, and he reveals the dead mom cooked, looking like a turkey with her legs and arms and her head cut off. It's hilarious. I mean, like, did you get grossed out at all? Or did you find it funny?
No, this was kind of it being funny. You know what was even funnier was everyone's reactions and their attempt to act. That one was pretty funny.
I like the dude from Suits because Eli Roth was like, well, somebody's going to vomit. The guy from Suits has to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was his wife, I believe.
Yes, it was.
That was his wife.
That was his wife.
Right. And then he goes to the one kid who was filming everybody on a TikTok or whatever. And he puts his head, bashes his head in with a mallet. We see the brains, all that stuff. But, okay, let's live in a world where people didn't escape and Patrick Dempsey did not get revealed the way he did. What do you think, what's your thesis of his motive on this? Like, let's say that none of that happened at the end of the movie. Nobody escapes. Like, was his plan to feed everybody the mom and then kill him? Was his plan to kill everybody or just to F with them?
I think, like, he wanted to, I think to kill everybody eventually, right? It just seemed like it. Also, I'm seeing that apparently this was the cheerleader in the fridge. I think it was a bit of a goof or a factual error is what IMDb is calling it, but there's some weird.
That was a cheerleader.
That's what they say, but I thought she was blonde, and this girl clearly had dark hair, but maybe it was just blood. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I think that at this part, the killer just maybe wanted to do a slow torture, kind of give them the same pain that they caused him, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And then he has to slowly cut. Eli Roth had to really get the foliage up, right? Where the cutting of the dry human skin, right, to actually serve, right? It's like, whatever. It's just so stupid. And then main girl, right, the virgin, right? She gets out, she escapes, she runs, right? And for some reason, and I called this out too when watching the movie, right? So they're running through the woods, and she runs towards this fence to escape. And for some reason, they stay on a shot where the killer hits these flowers, right? I don't see what the flowers are, but they hits these weeds or these flowers.
Yeah.
Right? And for some reason, she escapes, and then she runs, and then she sees Patrick Dempsey's knocked out body in front of a warehouse somewhere. And of course, at this point, I know, just like I said in the beginning, that Patrick Dempsey's the killer. So it's like, oh, this is Billy Loomis with the blood, you know, pig's blood, the same thing they used for Carrie scene. You know, like, this is the reveal, right?
Yep.
And then we get a MacGuffin that the baseball player was, you know, the guy.
Yep.
But she knows that Patrick Dempsey's the killer. Now, I don't know if you call it something different, but these were these cockabirds on his pant legs.
That's what they're called now. That's what they're called now.
Yes, they are. That's what I was always told those things were called, were cockabirds. I'm dead serious. I swear to you.
That's perfect. Yeah.
It's this flower thing that has like these spiky things that stick to your clothes.
Yeah, of course.
And I was told they were called cockabirds. What were you told they were called?
I don't think I was told anything. Just thorns? I don't know.
Google cockabirds. I'm telling you, it's there.
Oh, man, how do I spell that?
Cockabirds. Flower. I'm telling you, it's a thing. If it's not a thing, then it's going to be another thing. Like, it's going to be my generation's word for a bazillion nut.
They are cockabirds.
Is there, okay, so are they cockabirds? I mean, what are they actually pronounced?
They're cockabirds. Just like you. Cockabirds. I actually took a guess on spelling them, and there it was... Just like you think, cock-a-burrs, two R's.
Right. So is that the name of the thing that sticks to you, or is that the name of the plant?
I think it's the thing that sticks to you. I think it's a bit of both, actually.
Okay. So you made fun of me, but this is a thing.
I'd never heard of a cock-a-burr before.
That's a cock-a-burr.
That's a cock-a-burr. I don't. You know what? I've never encountered them to the point where I've had to go, hey, Bob, get these cockabirds off me.
I want you to do me a favor. When your daughter gets older and she plays in the woods, be like, hey, watch out for the cockabirds.
I'm never like, not going to hear that word now. And whenever I do,
tell Sarah.
Oh, she'll listen to this and she'll give me a text. She'll be like, you don't know what a cockabirr is? I'll be like, I don't know. Yeah. Cocklebur. Cocklebur weed.
Is it cock-a-burrs or cockle?
I've seen both spellings here. Cocklebur.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's how she knows he's the killer. Because of cockle-burr.
Cocklebur.
Isn't that a stupid reveal, though? I'm just saying, like, because I grew up
knowing those things. I just like saying the word now. It's cockle-burr.
Cockleburr. All right, so that's Cockleburr. But no, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, that's such like an East thing, like a Midwest or like an East thing, right? Like this, yeah, it's just like she looks at his pant leg, and he has the cockleburrs on his pant leg, and she's just like, oh, he hit the leave. So he's the killer.
Yeah,
like,
what a detective
no
there.
On her, right? There was nothing on her, right?
It's silly, but again, whatever. This girl, what's her name here? Jessica, played by Nell.
Jessica's a great heroine virgin
but
girl.
Just the way that again, these acting man, just the way that her because her eyes just open up and she's like, okay, play scared. Eyes open up wide. It's like, okay, can you do anything else? It's like, no, that's about it. So she does the same thing when she finds the cockleburrs on his cuffs of the pant there, and it was just like, that's how it's all in the details, right? Just
right.
The littlest details.
I love the BS too. Where she's just like, I have a question for you. What are you thankful? Where she's like, don't you want to know what I'm thankful for? He's like, what are you thankful for? And she's like, TikTok or whatever. She's been recording him off of a phone the entire time.
Yeah, props to the social media for allowing the live streaming of a mass murderer to go on uninterrupted. Everyone's doing thumbs up and likes about this too. It's wonderful.
Everybody.
That it's getting so much clout. Wonderful. Yeah, listen, it all came to a beautiful climax when Patrick Dempsey has the axe in his hand and he says, there will be no leftovers tonight. Thank you. That
scene
was
right
that,
there, Oscar.
Beautiful.
Give him that.
If that is the highlight of the year, that it was perfect. I could see why he wanted to do this movie.
Right. I mean, right there. So because of that,
we missed the parade a bit, right? But
well, we get this big giant turkey blow up thing, and then she blows up the turkey because of science. And he gets blown away, and I look at my wife, and I'm go, no body, no death. No body, no death.
Oh, yeah.
Movie guy's logic, right? And then everybody comes back, right, who was being tortured, and they're just like, oh, well, we technically still are in the hospital, but we want to see how you were doing. Oh, yuck. And I was like, okay, where's the scene? Where's the scene where the killer's dressed up as a firefighter or something?
Where are
right?
those
no.
kids' parents at?
Where are the kids' parents in a lot of movies?
It's also, again, like, the way that the police are just like, all right, well, you kids better get home then. It's just like, okay, well, you know, how 5 people have died now. All right, well, we got all the questions we need. Then you kids better go home then. It looks like the killer's after you, so go straight to bed type of
we
thing.
We gotta find a new sheriff.
Yeah, like, what the... yes.
Dempsey's body is never found.
But listen, they got to keep these people alive. They got to keep Patrick Dempsey around. This sequel has been greenlit for 2025.
Oh, it hasn't? You looked it up?
Yes.
It was a financial success.
The budget was $15 million. The box office put it at $46.5 million.
That's a success.
It works. In $15 million for... a movie like this is actually pretty cheap.
Yeah. I mean, Patrick Dempsey was half that salary.
You're probably right.
I mean,
there's a lot of nobodies here. So, yeah, I would say that your biggest budget is going to be the Black Friday scene and Patrick Dempsey.
Do you think that Patrick Dempsey talks about himself as the third person on set? Because, you know, I can just see that. Because Patrick Dempsey, even though he's McDreamy, doesn't strike me as a good guy, right? Like, I've seen him since Scream 3, right? And then Grey's Anatomy after that. It's like, I can just see him on set saying, Patrick Dempsey, don't do that. You know what I mean?
Like, no, but I do think he's the guy who wouldn't wait in line for craft service. He would just cut right to the front or cut in between. Like, oh, just excuse me real quick. Yeah, Patrick Dempsey doesn't wait in line.
Right, and then some kid's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to kill you tomorrow in the scene. Shut your mouth and get your hors d'oeuvres later. You get your chimichangas when I say you can. Patrick Dempsey has spoke out.
Well, he probably would just, yeah, exactly. Look over at him, do a little half smile. And then everyone go, okay, he just go, you rascal.
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey cannot come back for the sequel.
What? You don't think so?
I mean, why? Right? I mean, if this movie is such a trope, I mean, like, the sequel has to be Billy Loomis's mother as the sequel kind of thing, right? It has to be that kind of killer. It would have to be.
I don't know who else would have. You'd have to have some pretty good motive. And because,
tons of motive.
Because listen, this is the other kind of weird thing is that I can understand the motive of why the sheriff would want to go after these kids, because the kids were the first ones in the store and it kind of incited the riot kind of thing. But the choice of who he kills after that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No, killing the woman in the diner doesn't make any sense. Killing the security guard.
Killing the woman in the diner makes perfect sense. She was the one that hit the Gina Gershon, Amanda is her name, with the cart, and then rolled over her hair and stuff like that. So she was, you know, in her selfish act. But for the other security guard, Tim Dillon, I don't know why they killed him.
He just ran away. He was scared.
Yeah, coward. Oh, but that's what it was. There was a little bit of a storyboard in the back of that too.
Can't be a coward.
Yeah, because he's a cop, and you know, he knows what's, you know, if you're gonna be a security guard, you gotta stay on patrol there. But then I don't know. I guess everything is just kind of a stretch. It's just like, why kill all these people if like you really? Yeah, never mind.
Well, I mean, like, the movie was trying to give us that, right? The movie was showing us that he was watching TikTok videos and YouTube videos of, you know, what happened with security footage. They tried to go crazy. You like, I mean, they tried to tell us that Patrick Dempsey's the killer. Like when the manager guy was like, the security footage was working just fine before, but the day of, the security footage is missing. You know, and it's like, well, who would have access to that? You know, like,
yeah,
it's stupid stuff like that. But then we get the "I Know What You Did Last Summer" shower, Jennifer Love Hewitt scene, where, you know, she's in bed with her boyfriend, who has not been in this movie hardly at all. And she goes into the closet, and the last scene is Patrick Dempsey and fire grabbing her, and she wakes up, and it was all a dream. Credits. So, no, what they will do, if I was the director of the trilogy, you would have random killers for the sequel and bring back Patrick Dempsey for the third and final movie to bring it all together. Tells you a secret that you don't know. You know, Cindy, I am your half-brother. You know, that reveal.
Well, you know who it's going to be, I think. And again, the big reason why Sheriff Eric was the killer.
Is that Dempsey's name?
Yeah, okay. It was because the woman, Amanda, who he was in love with, was also pregnant with possibly his child. But
right.
So the two other would-be suspects for me were Ryan, because what the hell is he doing in this movie besides being a doucher?
Who's Ryan?
Zombie guy.
Okay. He was a doucher.
Yeah. He was as powerful as Patrick Dempsey, the way he was teleporting everywhere.
Yeah, he would come up randomly, like, and there was tunnels under the ground.
Yeah, anyway, he seemed very suspect because he didn't seem to really care about anyone besides getting in Jessica's pants. Like, that seemed to be like his one focus goal. Which was kind of weird, but I don't really understand what motive he would have had, and so I was thinking that they're gonna be, you know, that would be Billy's mom at the end, and he's like, oh, mm-hmm. Well, it was my mom that did this, my brother that, you know, that you killed, blah blah blah, whatever the hell. Either way, it was dumb. But the big one would have been Mitch, would have been the husband of Amanda, the guy who lets Patrick Dempsey in the door in the opening of the movie.
Is that the guy who's the manager?
The manager. Yeah. So
does he get killed in this?
He does not. There's a part when during the parade where he puts on the mask and we're led to think, oh, here it comes. Maybe something's going to, you know, an attempt at a misdirect there. But it turns out he and some other people were just going out there to protest the parade and say, right, Mart is wrong, kind of a thing. And I think there's your sequel right there, is that if it's not Patrick Dempsey, it's going to be Mitch.
Who was the random person in the turkey costume? Just random person? Like, we don't know? Just or was it a kid?
I thought it was just some dude.
But because he's going after these people for reasons. Right? Because Patrick Dempsey does the tranquilizer dart to the cop, to the Russian girl, who gets... She gets a... By the way, we didn't talk about that kill, but that kill was so stupid random. Right?
What one? The table saw?
Yeah, because it was like, you know, because she got the corn cob things in her ears, and then she's crawling, right? And then, like, she's... Because the killer has the knife to her throat. He's not going to kill her for some reason. I don't know why. And then he throws her on this table saw, and then she gets her fingers cut, and then she gets disemboweled. So, okay. No, but
she falls on the table.
She falls on the table. But... And then the guy touches, by the way, I remember this, Scooby, what it was, Scoobs, what
Scuba.
Was it? Scuba. He holds her, and his hands slip on the fake intestines.
What do I do, Jessica?
He's like, what do I do?
What do I do?
What do I do? I was like, I don't try to put him back in. I don't know. I'll fix you.
It was so silly. And yeah, the mascot was just, I think, a random dude.
See, that was stupid, though, right? So that does not go with his motivations, though, right? Because his whole point was to kill people.
Don't
that...
think in this movie.
Because of a sequel?
You're not supposed to think in this movie. He was just killing, I think, just to do that. Because, again, there's the driver of the car got impaled. And that was
a good one.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. And then
his nose.
His daughter's just getting splashed by blood. Yeah.
My wife. She's like, get out of the car, girls.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a good one. Okay. We talked about it, Eric. I'm going to go first on this one. Is that okay?
Yeah. Have you been going first lately?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know. Do you want to go first?
I'm giving us a small pop, small bag. Like,
yeah.
It's fun. I'm not going to lie. It's a fun movie, but... It's dumb as hell, but it's not trying to be anything else.
Right.
This is a movie I'm gonna watch like every other year. When somebody brings up, what Thanksgiving movies are there? Like, I know a Thanksgiving movie. It's called Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for. There are two pop Koreans for me. Like, it's like for an 80s love letter slasher movie, this is a large with like so much butter, right? You know, this
bloody
is
butter.
This, right, nice. Like, this is like Homer Simpson going to the theater and say, give me the milk duds and fill the box with butter.
You it's know a guilty what I mean? Pleasure. Like,
yeah, this is perfect homage to 80s slasher films. I'm so glad you gave it a small. Because if you gave it a large and if I gave it a large, this would have been nominated for our Film of the Year awards.
Listen, also the runtime is perfect too. Hour 46.
Yeah. It needs to be shorter.
Yeah, it could have been a little bit shorter, but I'm glad that it was streaming. Do you say you're giving it a large then?
No, I'm not giving it a large. I'm giving two ratings. Large because of the 80s nostalgia, but realistically... This movie's a small to a teetering to a no bag. It's terrible. But it's a small because it's fun. You know what I would have had fun with? Do you remember years ago when we made a road trip and we saw Kong Skull Island in theaters?
Yes.
We should have saw this movie in theaters.
Yeah, we should have.
We snuck beer into that theater. We would have had a great time watching this movie instead of Kong. You know, like this is what this should have been.
Yeah, because again, like Kong was taking itself a bit more seriously, trying to tell a story, and there was a lot of things that they needed to cover. This, listen, story be damned. You didn't need one. We know why you're here, and we're going to give it to you. They gave us more than five kills. They gave us like a several bloody kills. That's what you're on board for here, buddy. That's why you're here, and this is what we got. Sequel is going to give us a bit more of the same, I'm sure. And flat out, that's just what it is. It worked. It really did. But
Small bag, though. I mean, realistically, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I like sugary candy, but I'm not going to eat it every day.
Yeah, Sour Patches are good, but not every day. I agree with you. It was fun for what it was, but a small. I would agree. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. You can check us out at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com or wherever you get your podcast from. We are on that platform. And every Thursday, we have a new episode out. So until next Thursday, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. Have a good night.
Maybe it was mentioned in like the third movie or something like that.
Well, because the second movie, they say they're going, they have to be somewhere opposite of you, right? Because like you're on the east. These guys have to be on the west, right? Because they said they were going up to Lake Michigan in American Pie 2. Right? Isn't Lake Michigan?
Yeah, that's west side. If you're in the middle, if you're middle Michigan, though, which Ann Arbor is not, it's a bit more. Oh, I'm going to get into a debate with Sarah about this. I know it. Then, yeah, you're driving a little bit extra.
I'm just saying, like, I just watched these movies recently, and I'm just, because I watched 1, 2, 3, and Reunion.
I will say Lake Michigan has the better beaches.
That's why they probably filmed there, right?
Yeah, flat out, I would say that most Michiganians would say that, Lake Michigan definitely has the better beaches. I think Sleeping Bear Dunes are on the west side, kind of the northern part there. Traverse City is there, too. Yeah, but we all know that Lake Superior is the best, right?
Did you go down to Ann Arbor when they filmed Scream 4?
No, I was in, but they did film parts of it in Plymouth, Michigan, and I was there for that.
You're there for that one. You know what's funny is, like, if you watch Scream 1, which is clearly California, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe to the average moviegoer that's not familiar with our area, but Scream 4 looks completely different than Scream 1 just by geography alone. Like, that's Michigan. That is Ann Arbor through and through, and they're pretending to be, you know, whatever they call it.
Listen, a lot of those neighborhoods in Plymouth are very ritzy, and those houses you can kind of see are, yeah, they are... They are something else.